Happy Easter, everyone. When you and I buy a big ticket item, a lot of times those things come with a warranty or a guarantee. I don't know if you've had the same experience that I have where you buy something and it's not what the guarantee says it was going to be. You end up not getting money for what you had the problems with. Well, I like to think about Easter as a guarantee. And the difference is that God's the one making us the promise on Easter. He's the one assuring us of the things that have happened. And that gives us great confidence in our life here. Jesus has been raised, that means sins are forgiven. Jesus has been raised, that means we'll be raised too. Jesus has been raised, that means we have a home in heaven, and it's just a matter of time until you and I get there. Today it's my prayer that as we study together, you and I will be reminded that we have great confidence in this life, confidence for our life here, and confidence for our eternal life, all because of what our Savior has done for us. We bow our heads in prayer. Dear Jesus, we have come to celebrate your resurrection from the dead. Help us to realize how important Easter is for our spiritual lives. Without you being raised from the dead, we would still have our sins, the punishment for our sins, and we would be doomed to hell for all eternity. But because of your perfect life, death, and resurrection, you guarantee our forgiveness and eternal life above. Help us to celebrate Easter each day of our lives. As we grow in faith, may we serve you out of love and thankfulness for this gift of salvation. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Almighty God, we have come together to stand in your presence and worship you. Today we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, from the dead. But who may appear in your presence, Heavenly Father, and who may call on your name? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive blessings from the Lord. O holy and righteous God, you alone can make us clean. We have rebelled against you and are worthy to receive your punishment. But your mercies never end. They are new every day. At your command and promise, therefore, we come to you and confess all of our many sins. O holy and merciful Father, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But at your gracious word and promise, I come to you. For the sake of Jesus, my Savior, have mercy on me, a sinner. Having heard your confession, I, as a called servant of Christ, assure you that our gracious Father in heaven has heard your prayer. And by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus, you have conquered death and opened the gate to eternal life. Grant that we who have been raised with him through baptism may walk in newness of life and rejoice in the hope of sharing his glory. We pray to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture lesson for today is an Old Testament reading from Jonah chapter 2, verses 2 through 9. You know the story of Jonah, how he was running away from God, got thrown into the sea, and a big fish came and swallowed him, and he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days. Jonah repented of his sin. He had changed his mind about it. He got spit back up on the beach, and then he did the work that the Lord had asked him to. Well, this Old Testament story is a picture of what happened with Jesus. He was in the grave 3 days, but he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again to assure us that we are forgiven and will live forever in heaven. He said the following, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the belly of the grave, I cried out, and you heard my voice. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas. The current swept around me. All your breakers and waves swept over me. I said, I have been driven away from your sight. Nevertheless, I will once again look toward your holy temple. The waters engulfed me so that I was near death. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth locked me behind its bars forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forsake the mercy that is theirs. But I, with a shout of thanksgiving, will indeed sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will certainly pay in full. Salvation belongs to the Lord." Our second scripture lesson for today is a gospel reading from Matthew 28, 1 through 10. This is one of the visits to Jesus' tomb after he became alive. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and was going to the tomb. He rolled away the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. And look, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." They hurried away from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They approached, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers that they should go to Galilee, and there they will see me." I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. All my heart yearns within me. God's word for our encouragement today are verses from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, where Paul says this, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Dear fellow worshipers, one of the many things that God has blessed us with is our memory. Think of how much you use your memory. I'm thinking about our school kids right now. They use their memory every day as they study with their regular classes. When the kids are in confirmation class, they're learning Bible verses and they're learning hymns for their teachers. They're learning parts of the catechism. They're at a great age where they can learn and memorize things. Well, you and I, we use our memories every day. We use it for our work. We use it for our regular life. And it's good to be able to remember things and get things accomplished. Well, as Christians, there's some really important things that you and I want to remember. And it's all about Jesus and what he's done for us. We want to remember how he suffered for us. We want to remember how he died for us. And especially today, we want to remember how Jesus was raised from the dead. And as you and I are remembering all these things, it's not just nice to remember what they are and say, well, that's nice, that's good. No, when you and I remember those things, when we know what Jesus has done for us, God wants us to have confidence. As we study today, it's my prayer that we'll remember everything about Jesus' resurrection and all that it means to us, and that it'll give us confidence. Confidence knowing what he's accomplished in our place. And it gives us confidence for our life right now while we're here in this world, but it especially gives us confidence for our eternal life that we will have in heaven. From the Advent season, which is before Christmas, until Jesus' ascension back to heaven that we'll celebrate in May, we're talking about his earthly ministry, all these things that Jesus did while he was here. Well, today in particular, we're remembering what happened at his resurrection. Jesus really did rise from the dead. Even though the false reports were out there, like I told the children, the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb, remember what happens? An angel comes and opens up the tomb, and the soldiers are like dead men. They can't do anything about it. So they go back to town. They tell the Jewish Pharisees what happened, and the Pharisees say, well, you can't tell people that Jesus rose from the dead. We're going to pay you to say that his disciples came during the night while we were sleeping and stole the body. There were other false reports. Jesus was misidentified. His tomb was misidentified, and he was buried over here, but they looked over here, and that tomb was empty, so they just assumed Jesus was raised again. He was unconscious on the cross, and they took him down, then they put him in the grave, and then he woke up later and pushed the stone away and got out. Well, we know that Jesus has been raised from the dead. We know it. All the appearances that Jesus would make to people would assure them that Jesus really is alive. And you know what that means for you and me? That means all of our sins are forgiven. Easter is the guarantee of that. It means that someday you and I are going to be raised and live in heaven too. It means that we can believe all the things that Jesus told us because all of his prophecies, everything that happened, it happened just like he said it would. And one more thing. When we understand what Jesus has done for us, there's a connection between our faith and how you and I live our lives here on this earth. As Paul wrote this letter to the Colossian Christians, they had their faith, they had their forgiveness, they had their home in heaven, but they were being tempted to go back to a sinful way of living. And Paul finds out about this, and now he's writing this letter, and he wants them to remember what Jesus had done for them. If there was going to be anything that would encourage them to continue in their Christian faith, it would be to remember what Jesus had done for them to save them from their sins. So here's the first thing Paul says. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The Colossians were once dead in their sins. Enemies of God, blind to the truth, but they had been made alive in faith. They had been justified. They'd been declared not guilty of their sins. Notice how Paul speaks in the past tense. He says, you have been raised. He's talking about the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead. They would be raised from the dead someday too. You have been raised. Set your hearts on things above. Right now, the focus for them was on living their lives here on earth and enjoying themselves and however they wanted to enjoy themselves. Paul says, you're a child of God. Look at what Jesus has done for you. Don't think about earthly things. Set your heart on heavenly things. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. These people were to focus on what God wanted them to do and how He wanted them to live and to have confidence. Everything had been done for them in their salvation. They were now to live a life of faith, demonstrating what God had done for them and what He would do for them someday. By God's grace, you and I have been raised, like the Colossian Christians. We have been brought to faith in our Savior Jesus to understand that all of our sins are forgiven and gone. We know that because of our faith, someday we will be raised and we will live in heaven together with the Savior. And that's really what we're looking forward to. You and I understand that because of Jesus, we're involved here in earthly life, but this is not our focus. We're to focus on things above, on spiritual things. Sooner rather than later, the Lord will take us home to heaven. Maybe judgment day will come soon. We don't know. But we know what we have by faith. We know what God has given us, and it gives us confidence. Sins are forgiven. We have a home in heaven. We'll be raised. And while you and I are living here, Jesus is going to guide and direct our life each and every day. Jesus gives us confidence by rising from the dead. He gives us confidence for our life right now. One of the frustrating things about living in our sinful world is knowing what the truth is sometimes. You can watch the news today, but I don't know that you'll find out what's true and what isn't. You could read a newspaper today. I don't know if that will tell you what's true or what isn't. You could talk to other people. I don't know if you'll learn the truth or not. You ever get that feeling that you know you want to know what's really happening and what the truth is, but it's hard to find? Well, it's not hard to find today, not on Easter. We know the truth. We know what's happened to Jesus. We know why. We know what that means for us. We're sinners. We're forgiven. We're going home to heaven all because of Jesus. The question for you and me is, what are we going to do with that truth? It'd be easy to say, well, that's really nice what Jesus did for me, and leave it at that. It'd be really easy to say, yep, I remember all that. I've learned that before, but not really be affected by it. There's a connection for us between what we know and believe about Jesus and how we live our life here on earth. And if I listen to everything else that's out there, I don't really know the truth. I really have no direction or guidance. But if I listen to what Jesus says, I have confidence. I know what God has done for me. There's no question about it. I know what to expect in the future. No question. Jesus gives us confidence for our life while we're here. And you and I need that guidance and direction every day. And Jesus also gives us confidence for the life to come. Here's Paul's second encouragement. Set your mind on things above, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. In speaking to the Colossian Christians, he tells them, you have died to sin, and your life is hidden. In other words, the fact that they were Christians and the home in heaven that they would have someday, nobody could see that right now. They couldn't even see it themselves. But Paul is reminding them of that. The future that God is going to give them someday. Paul says this, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. The Colossian Christians were to think of themselves as being safely tucked away by Jesus, kept by him in faith, waiting for that day to come, And on that judgment day, when Jesus returned or they went home to heaven individually, they would have that perfect life with the Lord. Their body would be changed and would be glorified, and it wouldn't be hidden anymore who they really were. On judgment day, Jesus raises all believers back to life again. He knows our names. He knows who we are. He knows that he's going to take us home to heaven with him forever. And when we think about our eternal life, Paul's telling the Colossians and us that all of these things are going to be happening because of Easter. Jesus has been raised. We're going to be raised. Our life is hidden right now, but someday people are going to see us as we are in our wonderful home in heaven with him. What a blessing God has given us today to not only understand these truths about what Jesus has done, but to believe it and to live it and to have it give us confidence each and every day of our life. And that's what Easter is. It gives us confidence for life here, but it also gives us confidence for eternal life that we'll have someday in heaven. April 12th, 2020. Anybody remember that day? It's a Sunday. There was no one here. There were no flowers. There were no people. There was no pastor here. There was no Easter breakfast here. It was the COVID year. 2 days before that, I came to church and recorded an Easter message to play on the radio. I felt really funny. I was wearing jeans and a sweatshirt, pacing around here, going through my sermon with my microphone on to record it for the radio station. The thought crossed my mind, can we really celebrate Easter without all the stuff, all the people, the flowers, the breakfast, all the beautiful singing and music? Could we really celebrate? Maybe you came to church today thinking the same thing. Can I really celebrate Easter? I've got this health concern. I'm not really sure how it's going to go. Can I really celebrate Easter? I've got this problem at home that I need to work out, and it's not going very well. Can we really celebrate Easter if we're short on money? Or there's some accident, or there's some tragedy, or I'm missing a loved one that's not here with me this year? Is there ever going to be a reason where we can't celebrate Easter? And the answer is no. There's no circumstance that can prevent what we already know. Whether we're here or not, Jesus has been raised from the dead. Whether we're here or not, all of our sins have been forgiven. Whether you and I are here or not, all the wonderful promises that God makes to us, those are ours because of our faith. Not because we got to do all the things we wanted to do, but because Jesus has already accomplished it. And you know what that gives us all during our life here, and especially about heaven? It gives us confidence. It's like Paul says in Romans, what's going to separate us from the love of Christ? How about this thing? How about that thing? How about the other thing? And at the end of that list of things, Paul says, no. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, that gives us confidence. Whether we're going through tough stuff or not, whether life is good or not, whether we're here or not, we carry that wonderful confidence of Easter with us wherever we go. Memories are great blessings. We remember a lot of things. I pray that you will remember Easter and let it change your life. If it hasn't yet, change your life forever. It's because of Jesus that we have confidence. Confidence for this life, confidence for eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We will continue with our prayer. It's at the top of page 7. O Lord God, our strength, our song, and our salvation, you fulfilled your promises by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In your compassion, you sent Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to lay down his life to rescue us because we were lost in sin.
I bow down to you,
lift our eyes to heaven, where we see Jesus interceding for us and all believers. Give us confidence in the greatness of his power in our lives. Keep before us the vision of all believers in heaven, standing before your throne and singing. Make us instruments of your peace as we bring the good news of the gospel to those around us. Guide us in using all the things you've entrusted to us, our time, our talents, and our treasures, that we may serve you and others. Merciful Lord Jesus, grant healing to the sick and strengthen the faith of the suffering and dying. Assure them of your love and the presence and comfort with them, with the sure and certain hope of eternal life through faith in you. Hear us, Lord, as we now spend a moment bringing you our private petitions. Lord God, you created man and woman in your image, and it pleased you to unite them as one in holy matrimony. You have greatly honored marriage by making it a symbol of the spiritual union between Christ and his bride, the Church. Grant that Alec and Aaron Wenzel may reflect this perfect love and commitment in their marriage all the days of their lives. Make their home your temple, and make their marriage a testimony to others, so that your name is glorified among us. Gracious Father, you have restored to us the joy of your salvation. With happy hearts we come before you and say, we join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, thank you for teaching us the things that you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.